Good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'are. We are learning Lilunishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHosham, and Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning and in the merit of our applying the application of what we learn by Ezra Hashem. We are on page 161. So I just want to tell you that what we learned last time, if you were here, if you were not here, I hope you listened online. But one of the very important things we learned on last time, if you weren't here, I know it was Tuesday because last Wednesday was Purim, there was a change schedule. Many were not able to come. You can go listen online, but one of the things we discussed was through the lens of the helpful Eitzah of Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was how do we view mitzvos? Like if somebody told me there was $500 waiting in that house or $1,000 waiting in that house for me, I would like run to the house. Whereas on the other hand, if there's a mitzvah in the house, so I might do it, but how do I feel when I do it? And that's something that we spoke about last week. I want to tell you that over this week, it really changed. Like, it was like such a ha'ara for me. When I say b'chol modacha and shema, with all of your resources, it was such a ha'ara for me because, I'll give you an example. I had to go be Menachem Aval, unfortunately, in a different community. It was far. I had to travel far to be Menachem Aval yesterday. His mitzvot. I had to travel far to be Menachem Aval. So I went. But I think before that year, I would have had a different attitude. If you would have told me if there was $500 in that community, I would have said, I'm not going for $500. It's too far. It's not worth it. But let's say you would have told me there was $1,000 there, maybe. Let's say you would have told me there was $10,000. I for sure would have gone. Let's say you told me there was $1,000,000. I would have for sure gone. So there's traffic, so it's very far. It changed my whole perspective. You're going for a mitzvah. A mitzvah is worth no money in the entire world. One mitzvah of Shimon said you should never give away a mitzvah. It's worth olam haba. So what is our attitude? It's not only if we do the mitzvah. It was such a ha'ara for me. Or you know, I've spoken about going to my mother's house before in Atlantic Beach to check. I once did find one first, so I'll tell you that I do go. I go, but usually I'm like, oh, I have to go again, but I go for Kibbutz of Aim. But it changed my whole perspective. If you told me, it's not even so out of my way, there were $500 on the table in that house, I would be like so excited to go. So it was really a horror for me. Something you should all keep in mind. The next time we're doing Pesach cleaning, I'm being serious, shopping for Pesach, cooking for Pesach. What is the attitude when we do these mitzvos? I'm doing them, but how do I feel? Do I feel like I just won $10,000? Or do I feel like I have to do this, so I'm doing this? No, I'm being serious. Or I just won $1,000,000. The mitzvah goes way beyond any monetary amount. It's mamash olam haba. And it was a very important, for me personally, I'm just telling you something for me personally, my avodas Hashem this past week was a tremendous ha'ara in my avodas, my personal avodas Hashem. I don't know if anyone else thought of it. If you didn't think about it, if perhaps this week going forward, or it's something you could pay attention to.
Like it really was like
it really crystallizes really what your kavana, what your intention should be. It really it's like it's a tremendous ha'ara. How do you translate that word?
Insight.
A whole new what? Eye opener, an epiphany.
Just tell them
that what?
Just tell them.
Considering we don't know what you're talking about.
Last thing you said when you talked about, I forgot who it was, who told the boy, you know, like, what to go daven. What, you read it from one of your books.
It was Rav Steinman? I don't know.
Said to a bacher, he said, I'm having difficulty getting up for minyan.
Okay.
And you said, he said to the boy, he said, you want me to do
that? No, I'm not testing you. I don't remember which story I quoted. Yeah, okay, so it was with Rav Steinman, correct.
That's what you're saying, they're giving you
$1,000. Yeah, it was for 10,000 shekels.
10,000 shekels, you would get there, right?
Right. And it really changed my whole attitude this week. So it's something that I want you all to keep in mind going forward in the week ahead, especially as we prepare for Pesach, and there is a lot of avoda, to do as we prepare for Pesach, and it was really, it's fundamental perspective. It really helped me a lot this week. Page 161. Second paragraph. We've mentioned the three lower levels of yira, fear, or reverence found in the Mesilas Yerushalayim. Fear of punishment, we've discussed all of these. Fear due to honor, we've discussed these. Fear due to perfection, closeness with Hashem. Let us consider, who is it that wants honor, and who is it that wants to cleave to Hashem? Okay, that was just a recap. We did that last time. Both the desire to cleave to Hashem and the desire for honor come from the neshama. So it's a level of the soul. The soul wants to cleave to God. And also the desire for honor comes from the neshama. Interestingly, because we tend to think that the desire of honor does not come from the neshama. Maybe the desire for honor comes somewhere else. But he's going to quote a pasuk from Tehillim, and we actually quoted a pasuk from Tehillim a couple of weeks ago, where we proved, yes, the Radak says, "Hakavod hu hanefesh." To Tehillim Perek Gimel pasuk Dal, Tehillim chapter 3 verse 4, "Va'ata Hashem magen ba'adi kvodi umeirim roshi." And the Radak says right there, "Hakavod hu hanefesh." Kavod. Honor, hu hanefesh, is the soul. So with that in mind, let's go. In Tehillim, David HaMelech even calls the soul honor. I just gave you a proof of that from Tehillim chapter 3, verse 4. Here's another one. As in the Pasuk, and he gives you the footnote on the bottom, the Pasuk is from Kapitel Lama, chapter 30. L'man yismerecha kavod velo yidom. Hashem elokai lo amodeka. You know that Pasuk was made into a song. L'man yismerecha kavod velo yidom. So what does that mean? So what should sing to you? Kavod, my honor should sing to you. Velo yidam, it shall not be silent. So what is kavod? So the Mechaber here explains, kavod is the neshama. So l'man yismerecha kavod means so that my soul may sing to you, and I will not be silent. Hashem is my God forever. I will praise you at times. So in other words, kavod also stems from the neshama. At times, this force is channeled through the body, and then one yearns for the honor of this world. I have to tell you, when I was preparing this, I thought it was extremely interesting, considering this week's parsha. This was very reminiscent to me, or evocative of the famous maisa, the famous happening in this week's parsha, Perek Yud, with the sons of Nadav and Avihu. Let's read these psukim again, these verses. At times, this force is channeled through the body, and then one yearns for honor of this world. The root of it all, however, is the soul is seeking the honor and glory of Hashem. And this really, to me, is very descriptive of the sin of Nadav and Avihu. It's a very enigmatic passage. It's a very difficult passage. We don't exactly know what their sin was. According to Pasha Pshat, according to the Torah text, it's very unclear what they strove for. And the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, it's the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, it's a day of tremendous ecstasy. God's Shekhinah has finally descended. The people started collecting for the Mishkan on Motzei Yom Kippur of the previous year. It's now Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Everything is put up. It's all beautiful. God's glory descends. Aaron does Birkas Kohanim for the first time. This is totally out of order. He offers a series of karbanos. It's really, he offers a series of karbanos. He blesses the people for the first time. God's honor descends. And in a moment of religious ecstasy. The two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, took a fire pan, and they put in the fire pan fire, and they put in the fire pan ketores, spice mixture, incense. And they came karav. Their desire was to cleave or to come close to Hashem from the level of the neshama. At times, this force is channeled through the body, and then one yearns for honor of this world. It's their moment in the spotlight. They are the Kohanim. All eyes are upon them. The root of it, however, is the soul is seeking the honor and glory of Hashem. And we know that they were tzaddikim. They were righteous people. They were the firstborn sons of Aram. Make a grave mistake. They bring a foreign fire that God did not command them. Immediately, a fire descends from before Hashem and consumes them, and they die before Hashem. And it's very interesting, but Chazal say, Rashi quotes it in the Pasuk, to Pasuk Hey, Shalom nisrufu bigdehem. Their clothing, their exterior was not burned. Ela nishmasam. What burned? Only their kavod. Only the kavod that they strove to achieve that was misdirected in some way. Chazal say very interesting reasons in the Medrash for the reason that they died. A number of reasons are given. They sought honor. One of these two old men died, Moshe and Aaron, and we will take over. They didn't marry, and they deliberately did not want to have children. They served under the influence of wine. Some very difficult reasons to understand. But what was burned? Elan Ishmasam, only their souls. Says Rashi, "Kimin shnei chutin shel eish nichnasu l'tochat meim." I'm sure that you have heard this. Two threads of fire descended from heaven into their nostrils and burned their soul. So the death, the striving to come close to Hashem, was on the level of the soul. In some way, it became corrupt, a striving for honor in this world. Otherwise, the Chazal say, I out of here, but I'm not going to open up and try and take the time right now. But they walked by Moshe and Aaron saying, when will these two old men die and we will take over? So on a very deep level, they strove to come close to Hashem. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eizara karav. They wanted to come close to Hashem. Their method was corrupt, and their reasoning was also corrupt. So the honor that began on the level of the soul, if it's channeled through the body, you begin to yearn for honor of this world. And when we yearn for the honor of this world, that can become a grievous mistake. Did I pronounce that word right? Grievous?
Mm-hmm.
Grievous. Grievous?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. A grievous mistake, and they ended up in very big trouble. And the consequence was immediate death. But it's interesting, what was burned in death? Not the exterior. Pasha Rashi says simply, Ela Nishmasam. It was a longing of the soul for kavod, which ended up being channeled through their body, and therefore they desired extra kavod in this world. And so what was taken from them? Their interior, their neshama, which represents kavod. So we have to be very careful. This is a very dangerous level, because even though sometimes we want to come close to Hashem through our avoda, whatever it may be, there's a strong Mr. Haskell here for us. We have to be very careful that we don't confuse the desire to come close to Ribono Shel Olam, vayakrivu karav, to come close to Hashem, with, if it gets channeled through our body, we can confuse the longing of the neshama with the longing of the guf, and we can confuse the longing for karav, to be close to Hashem, with the desire for honor in this world. So you mentioned Pesach. So when we set a Pesach table, we put out delicacies, when we hopefully have our archim, when we have guests. So we have to keep the right intention. I'm doing this for the kavod of the Ribono Shel Olam. My neshama wants to come close to God, not so I can get compliments and people can tell me how wonderful my meal is. And it doesn't taste like Pesach thick food. I don't know if that's a compliment or not a compliment. And there's so much to eat in this house and everything looks so beautiful. And not on Pesach, of course, but your challahs are so delicious. Not on Pesach, I'm being very clear. So we have to say, who am I working for? Am I working for the kavod of the neshama, which is an internal striving, or does it get channeled through the body, and then I yearn for the honor of this world, and then when I yearn for the honor of this world, it becomes corrupt, and then like Nadav and Avi, what happens? I can, Rahman al-Islam, end up in very big trouble if I confuse the kavod of the neshama with kavod for this world. And in fact, is everyone with me, and do you have any questions or comments? You know what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. Right. Very last Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. Does anyone know what the last mission of Pirkei Avos is?
We should.
Yeah, what? It has to do with the kavod of Hashem. So what Mishnah and Pirkei Avos has to do with the kavod of Hashem? Kol ma shebar kosh baruch hu ba'olamo. So you see, you do know. Everything that Hashem created in his world, lo ver'o ala l'kvodo. You should know that everything created in his world, first of all, ba'olamo. It doesn't even say everything created ba'olam. Kol mash, Chazal don't say, kol mash abar kosh baruch hu be'olamo. It does not say, kol mash abar kosh baruch hu be'olam. That's a big difference. Everything God created in his world, lo vir'o, it was not created except for one purpose. And what was that purpose? Likvodo. And that's what we have to tell ourselves. And that's what we have to remember. Hani used to say, I don't cook for 200 people. I don't teach. I don't have 14 children. Hashem cooks for 200 people. Hashem teaches. Hashem, what's the last one? Hashem has 14 children. So that's the reality that I have to keep in mind if I start to confuse the stirring of the kavod of my neshama for honor of the body. I have to make sure to keep it on the level of my neshama and channel it properly. She'ne'emar, as the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, kol ha'nikra v'shmi v'lichvodi barasiv yitzartiv af asisiv. Everything that is called by my name, says Hashem, v'lichvodi barasiv, I created it for my honor. Everything in this world is created for the honor of the Ribono Shel Olam. So when I set my beautiful Yom Tov table and I work for 2 weeks or I work for 3 weeks and I work hard and I come to Pesach and I feel a sense of geschmack, I have to remember when I look around me, this was all created for the kavod of the Ribono Shel Olam. And it's a big Yetzer Hara. Don't delude ourselves. I'm talking to Michal Arts, maybe not you. Michal Arts, don't delude yourself. This is for the honor of God. V'likvodi barasiv, yitzartiv, af asisiv. God says, I created it. I fashioned it. I made it. Final words, v'omer, it says in the Pasuk in Shmos, Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ad. That everything here is not for our honor, and it's something that is important for us to keep in mind. We work hard, and yes, a person wants recognition. That's kavod. And yes, we want some credit. The Gedolim don't want credit. Rav Shlaiman never want credit. I don't have Rav Shlaiman here. But I didn't think of it when I was preparing. There's an unbelievable story in the Rav Shlaiman biography. Maybe one of my most favorite stories, but that's an oxymoron. Talking about not wanting any kavod on a certain level. I'm going to say from Friday. I read the story when I read the book, so it goes back a few months already. Give me a random last name. Like a funny random last name.
Schwartz.
No, it's too Jewish.
Smith.
What?
Smith.
Smith? Fine. It was even more complicated than Smith, but fine. Oh yeah, I'm going to ruin the story. No one has a Steinman biography on you, do you? There is an argument. I'm going to try and say it. The punchline I know. There was a machlokas between two individuals. The exact details I don't remember. The punchline I know. There was a machlokas between two individuals. And they were fighting about a certain matter of honor. And one came to Rav Shteinman. And he told him the shaila. Rav Shteinman basically said he should be mevater. So they said to the Gadol Hador, I can't imagine, but if someone wanted you to change your name to Smith, would you change your name from Shteinman to Smith? So Rav Shteinman said, if that brought shalom, I would change my last name to Smith. I would change my last name to anything in order to avoid my chokas. In other words, I messed up the story a little because I don't remember it exactly, but that's the punch on the story. You're saying, I have no need for honor. If you want me to change my name from Shteinman to Smith and then I'll be more anonymous, I don't care. I have no desire for honor. So you have to make sure that in our workings, we understand who we're working for and what we're working for. And yes, on our level, it's nice to have recognition. And we want our family and our guests to come, maybe not you. It's nice to get a compliment from the family. It's nice to get a compliment from the guests. It's nice to feel that you worked and you did a job well done. But we have to be careful not to confuse the kavod, i.e. neshama, with the desire for external kavod, because that's when it becomes dangerous. Who proves that to us? Nadav and Avihu in our parsha, because kavod is two things. Kavod is the neshama. That's a healthy sense of kavod. L'man yizmerecha kavod v'lo yidam. My soul will praise you, God. I will never stop to say thank you to Hashem. I'll never stop. By modim b'li neder, I took it upon myself a few months ago. Someone gave me this etza. I find it very helpful. By modim, to think of three things you're thankful for. I find it very helpful. First of all, it redirects your kavana. Totally. We're not just saying words, because modim and achlach, then you stop in your head. I find that my bowing is lower. And I have to think of three things. They can't be the same things. And it's also not like I'm breathing. Because if you're sat bowing by modim and in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, obviously you're being think a little bit more. You have to really think of three things. So today I said four things. I thought, wow, four things. It's an extra level of thanks. L'man yizmerecha kavod v'lo yidam. I should never stop. I will never stop and be sorry. It doesn't have to be like earth shattering. Like you're looking at me a little confused. It could be like today, I had a very, very busy work day on Wednesdays. Like today, one of my things by modem was I had time to put a little laundry. I'm not joking. Like really, thank you Hashem. I'm in different communities today. I'm traveling today. Thank you Hashem that I had time to put a little laundry today. So it's not necessarily, yes, you could thank Hashem for your breathing, but think a little bit more. We have to make sure, it's a very profound lesson, that the kavod of the neshama does not become confused with the kavod of I, externality, the guf. So again, let's go back to this paragraph. Now maybe we understand it more. Maybe I understand it more. I hope you do too. Both the desire to cleave to Hashem and the desire for honor come from the neshama. In Tehillim David HaMelech, even calls honor the soul. Soul, honor. We quoted this pasuk and we quoted from Perek Gimel 2 weeks ago. At times, this force is channeled through the body, and then one yearns for honor of this world, as we've just explained. The root of it all, however, is the soul seeking the honor and glory of Hashem, as we quoted the very last Mishnah in all Pirkei Avos, which for your reference is Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud Aleph, chapter 6, Mishnah 11. So I'm just going to quote from Avsham Shafalosh briefly on the Mishnah. The teaching of wisdom of our fathers ends with the thought that not only the Jewish people, but in fact, everything in creation bears the name of God. Nothing has any other purpose but to serve the glorification of God. That is the purpose of everything, and not only the Jewish people, Kol Masha Baraha Kodesh Baruch Hu Be'olamo. Every single thing in his world. He is the creator, the Lord, and the master. It is inevitable. All things should fulfill their destiny. God created each one especially for this purpose. For what purpose? To bring kavod to the name of the Ribon Olam. He fashions it. He guides it accordingly. Not only me, not only do I have to work for kavod of Hashem, everything that's on my table, everything that's in my home, every creature in this world is for the kavod of Hashem. The nature with which every creature is endowed at the time of its birth has the ultimate goal to guide all things and all men along the path which will lead to the glorification of God. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ad, which are the last words of Pirkei Avos. This appears in Shir HaSayam at the closing of the Reed Sea when Knesset Yisrael behold the ultimate honor of the Ribono Shel Olam. On the other hand, fear of punishment is so simple that even the body understands, right? Why does the body understand? Because punishment in this world, generally we tend to think of punishment in this world as something physical. Even a body can understand that. One does not need to be on a high spiritual level in order to flee from a burning fire. That's instinctive. The animals in the forest flee from a burning fire. Honor does not always motivate one's heart. And each person relates to it differently, but the fear of fire motivates everyone at all times and in all situations. So when I read about the fear of fire, it reminds me of the Chafetz Chaim. I read this biography many years ago. It's an art school biography of Rabbi M.M. Yashar. But it's not like today's biographies, which you know I love, because I read all of them, but they were written in a much easier style and a quicker read. This is, like you could see, it's hundreds and hundreds of pages with very small print and many words on each page. It took me longer to get through with everything else going on. Okay. Chafetz Chaim. So the last thing we read is that the fear of fire motivates everyone at all times and in all situations, which remind me of the Chafetz Chaim, as you will hear why. Zchusu Yagenedeidu. Could you hear me at that? Yeah. The Chafetz Chaim would very rarely enter into conversation. The Chafetz Chaim would very rarely enter into conversation, even with other young scholars of the town. Even then, he was always on guard against Lashon Hara, and he was wary about talking about others. As the Talmudic sages say, a man should never sing another person's praise, I'm sure you've heard this, and speak at length about someone else's goodness, because what will happen? It will lead, what will it lead to? Exactly. From praise, he will go on to derogatory aspects. It's very well known that you shouldn't speak excessive praise. Let's say you're speaking to someone else about someone's excessive praise, and you go on and on about their praise, and you know what they're going to say? You think they're so good? You know what they did to me last year? You think they're so good? You should see my kugel. You think her kugel is good? To be very careful. So in other words, you know, we were just in Springfield, New Jersey for Shabbos with family. I wasn't working. Springfield, New Jersey for Shabbos. And I was talking to the rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Marcus. Rabbi Chaim Marcus in Springfield, New Jersey is the nephew of my Rabbi Marcus, Rabbi Rafael Marcus, Zichron Levracha, growing up. He was nifter a number of years ago, Rachman's son. He was sick too young. So the Marcus family is mechanchim. Anyway, my brother once said to Rabbi David Marcus, who is Rabbi Chaim Marcus from Springfield, New Jersey, first cousin who I grew up with. Rabbi David Marcus is, you know, Shmuel Marcus from Queens. Yes, correct. Very good. And the grandsons, these are the grandchildren of Aaron Soloveitchik, so that's all. So my grandfather, my brother once said to Rabbi David Marcus, what should I do about Lashon Hara? So Rabbi David Marcus said, he's Rabbi Shmuel Marcus' brother, grandson of Aaron Soloveitchik, so he said, what do you mean, what should you do about Lashon Hara? Just don't speak it. That's a true story. So I told it to Rabbi Chaim Marcus, his first cousin in Springfield, Jew, very, very chashuv family. So he did not want to speak about anybody. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, this family's great uncle, Soloveitchik says, Lashon Hara is anything you enjoy speaking about somebody else. You want to know what Lashon Hara is? This is a quote. Anything you enjoy speaking about somebody else. I'm not talking about a mother talking to her child, to a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle. Everyone use your seichel. That's not what we mean. So the Chafetz Chaim would not engage in conversation with others very much. The young scholars in the base medrash became aware. Almost every day at the same time, Yisrael Meir disappeared. This story that I'm telling you relates to two things. Number one, working against kavod in this world, and number two, fleeing from fire. It's unbelievable, Hashkacha, how you'll hear that this story you said in one of the books you quote from, this is one of the books, here we go. The Chazon Ish said, there's no better Musar than stories of Gedolim. So they used to, the young scholars realized that young Yisrael Meir, who became the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, would disappear every time at the same day. They followed him stealthily and discovered he went into the nearby woods to talk to himself in isolation. Listen to this. I went to look up this story because of the fire. But listen how Hashem helps. Unseen, they followed close by. From their place of hiding, he was standing by a pit. A fright seized them. They heard him talking to himself. You have a yearning for honor, Yisrael Meir? For what reason? Perhaps you learned a little Torah today. For this, you think you're so great. Remember what your end will be. You will lie in a pit like this. So number one, if we confuse honor of the neshama, which is striving to come close to Hashem, with honor of the externality, we have to remember we're treading in dangerous waters. Continuing on. 1 second. About that, okay. Certain contentious elements and troublemakers ignited a great dissension against the local rabbi in Radin, Rav Eliar Margolis. In order to lower the tone of the controversy, the rabbi picked himself up on a certain Friday and fled from Radin. At the height of the very dissension, Rav Yisrael Meir moved to Lida. He left. There was a machlokas in the town. He left. What did Rav Shlaiman say about machlokas? If you want me to change my last name to Smith, I'll change my last name to Smith. So what did the Chavetz Chaim do? He left the town. The rabbi of the new town, Rav Eliyahu Shik, was puzzled. He said, is it right for a Torah scholar to leave instead of helping to extinguish the blaze of the quarrel, of the machlokas? Rav Yisrael Meir, the Chavetz Chaim, answered as follows. It's a good idea to save whatever possible from a house, to work to put out the fire, as long as the house is not entirely encircled by flame. When the fire has engulfed, this is a mashal, the entire house in its talons, then it is a different matter. Then there is no choice but to flee. So in other words, talk about fleeing from fire in the mashal. Literally, that is how the Chavetz Chaim explained Machlokas. It's like a fire. To the Chavetz Chaim, Machlokas was so real as fire. You don't need to tell him to run away. He instinctively ran away. In this period of his life, the young scholar happened to come to Vilna. Rav Yaakov Brit asked him, so how did the machlokas over the rabbinic position in Radin turn out? In all his purity, the young man said to his former teacher that he is resolved not to speak Lashon Hara. He is unable to answer the question. Halavai. Okay, let's go on. If so, any questions or comments? Okay, bottom of page 161. If so, when one is particularly uninspired, the only force that can stop him from sinning is the fear of punishment, the fear of Gehenna. So if you feel totally uninspired for some reason in your avodas Hashem, and sometimes that happens, and you feel like, I don't care what Hashem's going to say, I don't care about God's kavod, I don't care about anything, I just want to do this sin, so just stop. There's going to be a punishment. You might not be on the highest madrega of your Shemayim, but there's going to be a punishment. You want to face the consequences? When the whole house is engulfed in fire, said the Chavetz Chaim, what do you have to do? Run, flee, you can't put it out anymore. You have to envision that there is fear of Gehenna. There is a real place. What are they going to say upstairs? The Steinmans always said. We see this even in worldly matters. At the conclusion of a long day at work, a person generally feels completely exhausted. Not the very devoted women who come out to Chabura here. Even if told he can make a sizable profit by working overtime, like me, it depends how far I have to go, $500, but when I said, okay, $1,000, maybe I would go there. His first reaction will be to say, I'm too tired, I have no strength. Let's say we ask him to perform a particular action through which he may gain a significant degree of honor, okay? Again, he will probably say he's tired and cannot do it just then. I guess it depends on the individual. Some people, yeah?
I'm thinking it's not just honor. In other words, I don't say everything that I do is for Hashem's honor. I do it because I'm the Akeres Habayis, and I have to make sure that Pesach is done in a certain way, because everybody counts on me. But it's not my honor, really. But okay. I don't really go around saying, oh,
it's Hashem's honor.
Right.
So it's interesting you're saying that, because in my long drive yesterday, I was listening to Shir Barav Shai Shechter, thank you for the water. And it's interesting because one of the things he said was, one second, please, Baruch Atatanei, Levinu Melech, Olam Shal Kol Nehi Abedvar.
Amen.
Very interesting what you're saying. Thank you. Because one of the things he said is, when we Pesach clean, are we really thinking about why we're doing this? Are we thinking about who we're doing for? Yes, we know we're doing it because it's a mitzvah. But do we think who, capital A, W, do we think who we are working for? When you're in the middle of cleaning, it took me an hour and a half yesterday just to do my four-syllable pantry. So when I'm doing that pantry last night, after I thought, oh, did I think of who I'm doing this for? I'm cleaning it because it's Pesach, because there's chametz. It's not my bedroom closet. There's chametz in the pantry. If anything needs to be cleaned out, it's the food pantry in my kitchen. But do I think who I'm working for, or do I think I'm that Keres HaBayis and Pesach has to be done properly and the kids have to see me cleaning? Or do I lemaisa think Hashem, while I'm standing there with the Clorox wipes on the chair, reaching up the top most shelves, do I think Hashem, I'm doing this for you? I don't know. Of course. Yes.
What's wrong with doing it for your family?
Nothing. It's very. You should be doing it for your family. Yes. But also, I also have to know that I'm doing it for Hashem. I do have to be doing it for my family. Absolutely. And it is chinuch. And the children should see their mother high up cleaning the topmost shelf. But also, I have to think I'm doing it for Hashem. Yeah, 100%. So, one second. Eliyahu Kitov says, one second. Where are you going?
If you think you got all the...
Oh, very good. Susan remembers. Eliyahu Kitov brings down in his Book of Our Heritage, Sefer HaTodah, that when it comes to beautiful book on customs and laws and Yom Tovim of the whole year. So when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, what are you really checking? Like, there's nothing left. Really, by the time, is it a Bracha Levatala? It's interesting. Rav Shai asked that in the Shir yesterday even. Are you making a Bracha Levatala? Because the time you get, that's why we put out 10 pieces. I'm not sure if I even have any Chametz. Anyway, Rav Kito brings in a beautiful reason. And he says it's a metaphor for cleaning out yourself. Why? Because if a person thinks that they've cleaned themselves out sufficiently and they don't have any chametz, personal chametz left, internal chametz left, shmutz that needs to get, then they should go search again. Mm-hmm. You will always find something. It's beautiful.
Yes.
That's what he says. It's beautiful. And it's certainly something that we should have in mind. Okay. Okay, that I don't know. I never. Could be. I never heard of.
It's also like, I think in psychology, there's a term in psychology. I don't know what it's called, where a person wants to get rid of something. They don't want to remember something in their life. I don't know what it's called.
So I'll tell you something interesting, because Purim is a great day of tefillah. One second. So I dive into Purim. It's based on Avi Feiner's book. I taught in my tefillah class. The middle word and the middle pasuk of the Megillah are, the middle pasuk is Vatomer Esther the Melech, She'ela Suyu Vakashasi is the mid, I think it's 7-5 in the Megillah, the middle pasuk of the Megillah. And the next pasuk, when she says She'ela Suyu Vakashasi, She'ela Si is the middle word of the Megillah. So the middle pasuk of the Megillah is, Esther said, my question and my request, how would you translate She'ela Suyu Vakashasi? My ask and my request, and the middle word is She'ela Si. So we learn that the whole essence of Purim is a day that is ripe for prayer, without going through the whole essay, which is very powerful and very beautiful. So I really daven on Purim to get rid of that schmutz. And then, like, the next day, and 2 days later, I said, Hashem, no, I'm mamish really daven. I begged you to get rid of my Yetzer Hara in these matters. He's still here.
As long as we're alive.
What?
As long as we're alive.
Correct. B'chol yom v'yom, yitzur sha'adam iskaber alav. Each and every day, the Yetzer Hara strives to overtake him. If the Rebbe Shalom would not help you, we would never be able to overcome at all. That's right, it's a sign of life. Chazal say, you know what Tov Ma'od refers to? The Yetzer Hara. Let's go. He gives us a drive to live. And he gives us the desire to fight. Okay, let's go. Very good. Page 162. Let's say we ask a person, we did this. Okay, to perform an action to which you may gain a significant degree of honor. By the way, I'm not sure these two examples, I don't know. If you tell someone you can make a sizable profit by working overtime, their first reaction is to say, I'm too tired. I don't think so either. Really? If you told me you could make a sizable, Pesach is coming, tuition, summer camp. If you told me I could make a sizable profit, you didn't say $5. I'm not sure if that's so accurate. I don't think someone's first reaction, at least from Hamonam, will be to say, I'm too tired. I don't know.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
And next
it depends.
The next one, the honor. Somebody's going to, most people, they're running after money and honor. That's what you're told.
I know, so I don't know.
But the person who's saying no, and some people might say that I'm stretching it, if the person says, I am too tired and have no strength, you might be talking to somebody that's clinically depressed and that getting out of bed was a big deal.
Maybe. But he doesn't say that. He just says his first reaction. I don't know.
But also, but being exhausted and depression could be in there, and it's like, I got through the day.
I agree, but I don't think he's talking about those people. I think he's trying to say that regular people are going to say, I'm too tired for a sizable overprofit. I don't agree with this. Let's go. Second example. Let's say you ask him to perform a particular action to which he may disagree. Significant degree of honor. Again, I'll probably say he's tired. I don't agree with either of these. I think that man is fueled by the desire for kavod and the desire for money. It's just pashut our yetzer, and even when it comes to money, it's not even a yetzer. A person needs to live in this world, and in order to live in this world as a Torah observant Jew and as a baser v'dam, you need parnasa. That's pashut. Okay,
definitely.
Fine. Let's say those are correct. If you're told of an approaching fire, he will not respond, he's too tired. He will simply jump up and escape. Whether we agree with him or we don't agree with him, I personally do not. Nevertheless, he'll jump up and escape if you chas v'sham tell him there's fire. Yes?
I think it just should have been worded a little differently.
Say it again.
I just think maybe the point is still there, just should be worded a little differently, that if there's a person who, for kavod and for additional profit...
Correct. You're right.
If there was a fire, he would.
Okay, fine. So even if... the person is the wealthiest person. If the person is Bill Gates and he's too tired, he might not work overtime. Very good. And if the person has no quest for honor for whatever reason, very good. He will still run away from fire. He'll simply jump and escape. You're correct.
Even if we do the same thing, even if it is a sizable profit. Like when we have to work overtime, we still complain about the long hours and all these things, even though we're still being compensated. But if there was a fire in the building, I'm running, not complaining about what time I had to get to work that morning. I'm just running.
Right.
So I'm saying that, like, even when we have to work overtime, even when there is a sizable profit, I'm still saying, oh, can you believe they're working me this hard? Like, even when it is overtime, I'm still complaining.
Okay. Fine. So let's go. How does this work in spiritual matters? Ladies, come. Ladies, come. How does this work, ladies? How does this work in spiritual matters? When a person has proper da'as, oh my gosh, I just read an essay by Rav Soloveitchik in a new sefer on da'as. We daven for it in Shmona Esrei. Maybe a different time. It wasn't relevant to tonight's shir, so I didn't want to bring it in, but it was very powerful. When a person has proper da'as, his da'as means, how would you say it translate? Knowledge, right? Knowledge, okay. His desire for honor is more alert. But oh, so that actually relates to what Nancy says. A depressed person is lacking certain sensitivities. Like clinically, I'm not talking about someone who just uses the word depressed, but really there's nothing wrong with them. A depressed person actually said to me they should change the usage of the word. People should stop saying I'm depressed for no reason because there is a clinical illness. Anyway, when a person has proper das, his desire for honor is more alert. But still, when overcome by a physical loss, the only thing that will motivate him to do a positive act or avoid a sin is fear of punishment. In fact, that's exactly what happens with Yosef. He is overcome by physical lust, perek lamitas aberacious, and Rashi does not quote the whole Maisa from the Gemara, which I believe is Masechah Sota. Rashi ends with, Bad yokno shel avi v'nereis lo b'chalon. You think it's the image of his father that appeared to him in the window. That is not the end of the Gemara. The end of the Gemara is his father threatens him, so to speak, with punishment. His father says, Yosef, Asid, in the future, your brothers will be written on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Do you want your name to be erased? And you'll be written as Roezonos, the shepherd of harlots. And when he heard that, he fled from Ashes Potiphar. So that's not just Pashut. He saw the image of his father in his window. He realized there's a consequence here. There's a punishment here. What's the punishment? My stone is not going to say Yosef, or my stone is not going to say Menashe and Ephraim. My stone is going to say Roezonos. Do I want the Kohen Gadol to be carrying that around on his breastplate? So in that situation, that's Yosef. He was overcome mamish by physical lust. Rav and Shmuel, Char Amar Melacha Mamash. Rav and Shmuel have a disagreement. One says he came to the house to do his work, and one says he came La'asos Tzerachav Ima. He came to that house today because it was a Yantif in the Egyptian ancient world, and everybody is worshiping in the temple. And Mrs. Potiphar says, I don't feel well. And Yosef is a Jew, so he's also not going to worship. He's mamash overcome by physical lust. The only thing that will motivate him to do a positive act or avoid sin, vayetze vayana sachutza. How did he manage to run outside? It was fear of punishment. His father's image appeared in the window and said, do you know what your stone is going to say on the Choshen? So even someone on the level of a Yosef at Tzadik needs to utilize this tool. So what should I say? Halavaya could reach such a level where it would actually internalize fear of punishment. So scary. Why is it so scary? Because maybe more than half the time I forget that there's punishment at the end of the line. Chas v'shalom. When one has mental clarity, he will seek Hashem because of honor or perfection. But when the mind is weak or otherwise disabled, only fear of punishment can prevent one from falling. You know, and it's so true. Yosef didn't have time to run through the Aseres HaDibros, and he didn't have time to run through the last thing he was learning with his father, which was Egla Rufa, and he didn't have time to run through a whole Musar Var. In the moment of sin, if you could just think to yourself, me, if I could just think to myself, you know, would you run away from fire? Because that's what this is. I don't have time for a whole shir. I'm about to speak Lashon Hara, let's say. Okay, I don't have time to go through my 45-minute Shmiras HaLashon shir. And why you Torah? I'm playing back. Let me see what I taught last Monday. Oh, I'm not going to stop from speaking Lashon Hara. The only thing I could think of is the flames of Gehenna. There's no atonement for this. What am I about to say? Stop. The only thing that will motivate you to do me to do a positive act or avoid sin is fear of punishment. Ayana Sachutza, he ran outside. When one has mental clarity, he will seek Hashem because of honor and perfection. But when the mind is weak or otherwise disabled, only fear of punishment can prevent one from falling. Even a Yosef at Tzadik. Therefore, if one skips over this step, he loses that which could protect him from sin. And then you're in grave danger. Going back to Nadav of an Aviyu, and they were tzaddikim, but they lemaisa made a big mistake. So had they envisioned that this is usher and it's off limits, and forget the whole Joshua, because you don't have time to start playing a shir, because that Lashon Hara is about to come out. And that Eish Zara is about to be offered, and I have a split second to make a decision here. I don't have time to go through the whole Musar Shmuz I heard yesterday. I have a split second. So what do I have to think to myself? There's a fire here. Mamash, if there was a fire, what would I do? I would run. You don't need to convince me. You don't need to tell me flee. I would just run, yes.
I was just thinking of the contrast, how last week we were talking about an opportunity of a mitzvah. We look at it as $10,000 or more.
Yes.
And now we're looking at to avoid an avera that we're trying to...
So it's very nice. It's two sides of the coin. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Good. Therefore, very nice. You lose that which could protect you from sin. So you can't sin. You can't skip over this level, because then you put yourself in grave danger. Yet those who emphasize fear of punishment so as to avoid the aforementioned danger had an opposite problem. Since it's the most difficult to attain fear of punishment, they had to toil for a long time to attain it. Consequently, did not make normal progress in other areas. So in other words, you can't be stuck in one level and never move past. You can only strive to acquire Yiras HaOnesh and never move past Yiras HaOnesh. People have worked with this. No one should be discouraged by the next words. If you read them yet, I read them when I was preparing. People have worked with this for up to
30 years.
And still remained on this one level. In other words, so what you said it's a lifetime of avoda. That's right. As long as I'm alive, the Yetzer Hara is still there. So it's a lifetime. Hopefully, Bezos Hashem will be working on this for longer than 30 years. But I think his point here is not to remain on one level. We have to be able to move from Madrega to Madrega. We can't remain our entire lives on what, not in one Madrega in terms of tefillah. Imagine if I was davening the same way I daven Adon Olam in kindergarten. Not on one level of tefillah. Not on one level of Yir Shamayim. Not on one level. We can't remain stagnant in the same place. So even though it might remain a battle, I have to make sure I'm not stuck on that level. Let me just finish my sentence before I take your comment. It turns out both methods are risky. We need to know how to safely navigate. Who had their hand up? Yes.
Okay, first of all, sometimes success is being in the battle.
Sometimes.
Sometimes at Rav Simcha Peterman Cohen, I think I remember once learning that he said that we don't know what success means. Sometimes success means just being in the fight.
100%.
Being tested knowing that's also success. Sometimes a person isn't meant to succeed.
Rav Huttner's famous letter addresses that very issue. That he says to his Talmud, who's so discouraged lose the battle but win the war. You might lose this battle, but that specific battle helps you win the overall war that the Ribbon Shalom desires so much, your struggles. Who? Joanna, didn't it? Wasn't it you, Alanisim, in the name of Yael Axelrod? Alanis, I saw you nodding your head. I know already why. Alanisim, Val Purkan, Val Gruas, Val Chus. We just said this last week. Al Hamil Chamos. Why am I thanking God for the Mechamas, the Nisim, the Purkan, the Chuas, the Gvuros, the Yeshuas, the salvation, the wonders, the miracles? What am I thanking God for war? Does anybody say, thank you, God, for war? So Yael Axelrod offered, shared to us by Joanna that, I don't know who she heard it from, that it's the internal struggle that the Ribbono Shel Olam desires. And for that, we praise him because it helps us grow into better people. It's difficult in the moment, but the milchama with my Yetzer Hara brings me to new heights. The struggle itself, yes?
Two more things. So somebody just told me tonight that they went to Rabbi Per on Purim. Her husband went to Rabbi Per on Purim, and people ask him for brachos, but he tells people be specific. Tell me what you want. So one bachar asked Rabbi Per for a bracha in patience. And he said, patience? Patience? That's a struggle for a lifetime.
Very nice. That's mechazek me.
You should have patience for yourself.
Thank you. Very nice. I'll tell you one beautiful thing, because we just made a siyum. One second, please. We just made a siyum in our home Sunday evening. Rabbi Willig was there. And my husband spoke for a few minutes, and he quoted Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig very beautifully, I don't know if he says, I give you a bracha, but Rabbi Kibulig, what he says is, my tefillah for you is. It's just a different perspective. It's beautiful. My tefillah, indicating, while you're giving somebody bracha, what are you really doing for them? Davening for Siyata Deshmaya. Okay, our time is up, so last thing. Oh, yeah, Susan wants to, yeah?
No, she has a third one.
Yes, I know, I want to comment on her second point.
Recommendation